for lack of a better term, I just kind of termed this pastor for ambulance today. But I was somewhat prompted or provoked by a posting of a friend on the internet this week. A fellow I've known for many years. And we agree about most things, not everything, but dear brother, up in Alaska. And most of you have heard my sermon on house churches at least once, maybe more than once, and you'll probably hear it again. Well, Brother King, this is a very brief sermon, and I'm going to kind of take from what he has here and run with it like I often do. But he began with this post. He said, "Can't find a scriptural church? How about a house church? Doubtless the time is soon approaching in this country when we will turn to house churches as did some in the New Testament times. If we cannot find a church that believes and practices the commandments and the ordinances of the New Testament, then I believe we would be obliged to establish a church in our own house with as little as two or three. What better way to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints? What better way to scripturally teach all nations, disciple them, to practice scriptural baptism of converts, and to observe as often as ye do it the Lord's Supper, to show his death till he come." And, you know, that is the New Testament pattern. Not that some of they did meet other places. You know, some folks have like house churches at all. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. But I've, skeptic that I am, whatever, negative that I am, I'm somewhat suspicious of churches that are much bigger, you know, in this day and age. I hope there's some that hold the line and are. And, you know, there's opposition even to house churches. And we've had even where we live here, folks. I mean, we've got not even a handful here usually, but they have a church here, you know. And recently, the Homeowners Association, my granddaughter and future grandson-in-law, whatever they are, they were going there and people were said something about a church and whatever. You know, we're going to continue on by the grace of God until they overpower us. And Brother King pointed out several instances in Scripture, and there's more we can draw on, but he spoke of Aquila and Priscilla. And there's a couple instances in the New Testament where it speaks of folks meeting in their homes. And Romans, Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, and he concludes that letter in Romans 16, verse 3. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Well, how can you fit a cathedral in somebody's house? All that stained glass and stuff. That's not what a church is. A church is the body of Christ, the body of believers, the assembled saints. Greet the church that is in their house. That's why we don't even call this little facilities we have here at the bottom of my house the church. It's the meeting house of the church. And Paul says, greet the church that is in their house, that assembles there. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And then Paul also wrote, in 1 Corinthians 16, Aquila and Priscilla had houses in different areas at different times, perhaps. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Paul writes to the saints in Colossians 4 and verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Emphasis, and the church which is in his house. And Memphis had the church meet in his house. And Philemon verses 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in thy house. The Lord's church is often met in homes. And, that's the New Testament pattern. Brother King went on to say, he said, brethren, allow me, later on he added this comment, I think, to clarify some things, folks who didn't understand what he was saying totally. He said, brethren, allow me to add another comment to this. A house church is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be 2 or 3 or 1,000. That house church, therefore, preaches the whole counsel of God, baptizes her converts, and teaches them to observe all things which the Lord has commanded. That church chooses its pastors and deacons based on the qualifications of scriptures. That church receives members and dismisses members. That church is the body of Christ. Well, with the permission of their mother church, of course. Oh, no, that's not in the scriptures. But even amongst Baptists, we see this hierarchy develop. I used to always say, and it used to make some people unhappy, but the Roman Catholic Church began as a Baptist mission board. And always said, well, they're good intents, and we'll do that, and we'll make a little, just a little hierarchy so we can accomplish things a little more organized fashion and so forth and so on. And ultimately, there you've got a pope. And not that there aren't almost the equivalent of Baptist popes sometimes. But, we're kind of out there. Nobody pays any attention to us. And I don't always pay a whole bunch of attention to them either. But I've commented to Brother King. I said, what Brother King describes is essentially what Landmark Baptist Church has done for the past 25 years or so. We are fortunate to be able to set aside a separate meeting house area, which is the bottom floor of my residence. This is what we have done most of our ministry. We did have a little meeting house in Homestead before the Lord blew that away and Andrew, but it was an old house, actually. It had been turned into a business at one time. It would be difficult for a much larger church to remain faithful, something that we at least strive for. But then again, I don't have any experience with large. And no, I don't. But the Lord's given us a ministry. He's called us here. And two or three are gathered together. And I know the stewards meet in their home. I had a fellow contact me today that's wanting to begin a church work in his home. And we're thankful for that. And with some of these folks, we've had a little bit of contact and maybe even a little bit of influence. I'm thankful the Lord's been pleased to use those things. They're encouragements. And this brother said after they're meeting on the Lord's Day and reading the Word in their home, they've searched for a church of like and similar faith, says I kept my eyes open for churches as I drive around. A few have warranted closer research and consideration. None have been such that we could in good conscience join. And he goes on to say, and even visit, for that matter. You know, I've shared this with some of you before, Diane and I, whenever we go someplace, you know, you'd want to try to find a place to go to church on Sunday, and even Wednesday nights we were doing that. And we'd go out, we'd find the church, it sounded good. I'd usually call them on the phone, and they would tell you what they thought you wanted to hear. That's what most folks do, you understand that? I've never been able to do that. I tell folks what I believe is the truth. And I don't claim to have a corner on all the truth. I'm not infallible. But I can only share what the Lord's been pleased to reveal to me. But I've been to places, some of those times, that just scared me half to death. You know, supposed to be a Baptist church of like faith and practice. One time we went and folks were running up and down the aisles. And when we were leaving, they were like, yeah, we kind of toned it down since we had visitors. I thought, okay. So, after that, we decided we'd stay and worship together, read the Bible or whatever, you know, in a motel room. And, of course, Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth about the way they were observing the Lord's Supper. It was a mess. And he says, you haven't come together, you know, for the better. You haven't come together. It says, you've come together for the worse. You can come together and be worse that you can. You'd be better off not doing it. And that's basically what Paul told the saints in Corinth, at least about the way they were observing the supper. The Lord's been pleased to give us some little outreach, you know, and you don't know who you're going to contact. You don't know who you're reaching. I mean, and then every once in a while, the Lord will give me a little revelation. And somebody will show up at the door here from Brazil. I had no idea they were listening to our messages and whatever. You know, a retired Air Force pilot from Brazil is down at the air show in Orlando, and they drive up here to come to church. Or a friend I had corresponded with a little bit over in Great Britain. And one day I'm out there putting my flags up on the post, and this big old black SUV rolls up. And I thought, hey, come to get me now. You know? And he rolls down the window, and he said, hey, Brother Greg. Well, they were here visiting from England, and they drove over here to come to Sunday services with us. And, you know, I'll hear from folks, correspondence or phone calls or whatever, just a couple this week. And the Lord's allowed us through our web pages, you know, through this little sermon, according to Facebook, we had like 12 people listen. They used to tell me who they were and all that. They don't anymore. I don't know why, but we supposedly had 12 listen to the last sermon. And, you know, social media, our daily lives, you know, all of us as we go about our way. And, what was on Thanksgiving when we were here and we had our Thanksgiving service and my phone rang. Well, we don't broadcast. It's just mainly, well, it's more folks than usual, but it's just, you know, my family and whatever. So I went ahead and answered my phone up here in the pulpit. It was my old buddy Gator, who's like 80, he's my mom's age, 8, 6, 9. Well, he's about 89. He still rides his motorcycle around. He used to run matches with me, and he had some issues recently. But he still comes and shoots. He called. He thought I'd call him and whatever, and I had everybody say hi to him. But the thing is, he doesn't really have a clue and about a lot of things. And at one point, he'd wanted me to preach his wife's funeral, and we talked about cremation and stuff and all. He wanted, you know, be eco-friendly. And so it's... So I said, that's fine, you know, but I'm not going to preach that sermon. And I'm kind of at the point I wouldn't want to do it anyway, unless somebody's a church member or somebody, a saint that I know well. But that's a whole other story. But he calls on the phone, and but the thing is, I get out there, I get wound up sometimes when I'm around the folks on the range, and whether it be about the things of the Lord or the things about the insanity of the tyranny that's growing. Gator calls me his pastor. Well, he'd never been to church here. He did come over to eat barbecue one day, but he accidentally left his gun, and I took it home with me, and he drove his motorcycle over here and had leftover barbecue from Confederate Memorial Day, and he said he was going to start leaving his gun more. But anyway, he calls me his preacher. You know, they listen. I can't open their ears. I can't open their hearts. But I can proclaim what I believe the Lord's been pleased to teach me and to show me. And so our web pages, our social media, all of us in our daily lives. There's a fellow I've been corresponding with that lives down where I was born and raised. And I'm thankful I'm not there anymore. But down in South Florida in Homestead. Back when I was a kid, Homestead was just a truck farm in town. Now it's like a suburb of Miami or Havana, depending on which way you're going, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, he lives down there. He's made comments in the past, too. Well, I'm not a very religious person, but I agree with Greg about most stuff and things like that. And I posted something this last week, which people listen. You can't open their ears and their eyes and their hearts, but they listen. And the Lord, you don't know what he's going to do. Anyway, I posted something from Augustus Cop Lady. Anybody know who he was? he wrote the hymn Rock of Ages and a bunch of other hymns. The way I've seen it described, to quote something I took, a major Calvinist opponent of John Wesley. So, there, take it for what it's worth. He's best remembered. He was a theologian as well as a hymn writer. Anyway, a quote I posted from him said, upon, and I usually come across this every year, I kind of put it up, because it's true. And because it speaks not of Augustus Toplady, but of Greg Wilson. Upon a review of the past year, I desire to confess my unfaithfulness has been exceedingly great. My sins still greater. God's mercies greater than both. My shortcomings and my misdoings, my unbelief and want of love would sink me into the lowest hell. Was not Jesus my righteousness and my Redeemer? And I often thank Paul, and I'm not going to dispute the apostle. He said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Of course, that was a long time ago, I think. Maybe I could take that place. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You know, until a man comes to see that, he doesn't understand who Christ is. He doesn't understand what the ministry of Christ was and is. And anyway, this fellow that's down there at home, he's a former Marine, too. And he used a word, but I'll just say, he said, dang. He said, never admit to anything. Nolo contende. You know, he didn't like it. Never admit to anything. And I responded, I said, God already knows what a vile wretch I am. It is his grace that allows me to recognize it in myself. Thus says a man greatly used of God, and again I quote the apostle, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. And then, I didn't write it there, but I mean, we're all familiar. Paul talks about over in Romans 7. Some folks try to explain it away. So all that's Paul's talking about before. The way they would say it is before he got saved. I hate that terminology. The scripture doesn't ever say somebody got saved. God saves people. But anyway. They say, well, that was before he got saved. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what he's writing to Timothy. In fact, if you read it in context, it's clearly not what he's saying. In Romans 7, I'll read a few verses here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. You know, God's law is, there's nothing wrong with God's law. There's something wrong with Ray Wilson. You know, the law can't save me. It's not because there's a flaw in the law. It's because there's a flaw in me. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. Well, we don't like to admit to stuff like that. You know, like my friend says, you know, we all kind of get, he says, nolo contendi, don't admit to nothing. That's what I, when people go calling me things like reverend. There's only one person that's called reverend in Scripture, and guess what? I ain't him. When they go calling me reverend, I said, no, you got the wrong. I said, go talk to my wife a little bit. She'll disabuse you of that notion that I'm reverend. And Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is right. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We still contend with the old man. You know, we don't attain to sinless perfection in this life. We should be being conformed to the image of Christ. And as Paul deals with in Galatians, we're told, after he tells all the saints in Galatia, you don't have to add all this stuff. He says, but you know what? Your life ought to be different. These things ought not show up in the Christian's life. Anyway, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's not, Paul's not talking about what happened back. He's saying, this is right now. And he's telling the saints there in Rome, you need to understand it. And you need, by the grace of God, hopefully God will help you to see this in yourself. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Don't start, Brother Al. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's all of Him. It's all of grace. See, I've got Brother Hal. I've got to tell you that story. Maybe I shouldn't tell it, but Hal said I shouldn't. But anyway, so I was preaching from this passage, and I kept talking about the inward man. And Paul, I mean, and Brother Howe, I think he hadn't been coming here too long. He kept thinking I was saying the N-word man, you know, that stuff you can't say. And, or at least that's the way Brother Howe's mind works. But now I've ruined it for everybody, haven't I? Anyway, so it's the N-word man. The N-word man. And that's worse than anything else. Anyway, he wrote me back, this fellow. He said, Greg Wilson, it's enough that God and I know. Yeah. No one else needs to. Well, I don't have to confess my sins to anyone else. They already know them. And I ought to seek to make them right. Ain't no one's business but my own. Famous singer sang, go to church on Sunday, stay home drunk all day Monday. Ain't nobody's business but my own. Miss Billie Holiday. Lost my faith in 69. To each their own. And I think he was in Vietnam then. And I said, may the Lord be pleased to grant you repentance and faith. I cannot. I don't look to contemporary singers for my theology, but the Word of God. And he keeps reading what I post and commenting, liking a lot of it, and making comments like that every once and again. But I don't know what the Lord may want to do from that. And, you know, those folks we reach, whether it be... And I wish I could just be done with social media. I just didn't ever have to... I didn't have to put a paper together every week, and I post all this stuff, and I... But you reach some folks. And I've always said... to art folks, and ever since I was a Marine, we'd teach folks, stay off the skyline, you know. And that means when you're traveling from one point A to point B, you want to not be on the top of the hills because it silhouettes you. Everybody can see you. It makes you a target. It's easier to do that, but you don't want to do that. But sometimes, some of us at least, have to get up on the skyline. We have to be a target. We have to be able to reach folks. If I'm not on the skyline, and if I'm not having, for what difference it makes, you know, fascist book banning me left and right and all these other things, for what, for my friend Justin Case, we couldn't even broadcast today. But thankfully, Justin stepped up and became an administrator for this account. I won't say any more about that right now. Sometimes we got to be on the skyline. Old Mike Vanderbilt, I really miss him, but he used to always say he was the canary in the coal mine. And when they came for him, you knew they were going to be coming for you pretty soon. Well, Mike died of cancer. And some folks applauded that. In fact, some folks were writing to Mike at one time and said, why don't you die? Why don't you go ahead and die now? And, you know, folks were... That's the way our friends on the other side of the aisle speak to us oftentimes. But we got to almost stand up and be on the skyline. And increasingly, it's not going to matter. They pretty much know what's going on anyway. And I may be on more lists than most of you, but most of you know me, so you're on some lists, I guarantee you. And folks we hear from, I heard correspondence from a fella this week. And about this time of year, I usually hear from a bunch of folks, too, because of Xmas. And they get around, you know, looking on the Internet and searching for things, and they'll find my article, my little article. This fella wrote, he said, hello, Pastor Greg Wilson. Excellent article about Xmas. Wish I would have found your site when we were full-time RVing. We were in Florida many times over the 9 years we traveled and seen many churches. For various reasons, we were disappointed with all of them. I will be reading more articles on your site. Thank you for maintaining your site with a wealth of information. We will also begin listening to your church services. And he says, do you have a constitution? Please let me know how, where to send a gift if I'm led. I said, thank you for the words of encouragement. I said, our constitution is essentially the Bible. I have something we put together years ago, but I'm not sure I can put my hand on it, on a copy of it right now. At this point, our actual membership is at 3. We have some more or less regular visitors, generally between 3 and 15 in services, tending towards the lower numbers. Our meeting house is the bottom floor of my house. As to disappointment, I disappoint myself quite regularly, but the Lord never disappoints. We continue on by the grace of God. If you want me to add you to our mailing list and so forth, I go on. He said, thank you for the quick reply. It's so sad to see your church membership at 3. That's a little bit lower than the church where I was saved and attended in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm so glad that I can be of encouragement. Says, I'll send you pics of some of the resources I have that may expand your library. I'm not sure what that's exact, but... And he says they're currently up in northeast Washington with snow on the ground, which I understand you girls miss that soon enough. Come on. And I just wrote back, I don't think things are really, quote, sad. I think it's the Lord's will. I don't think most churches that are significantly larger than us can faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God. I sincerely pray that there are some. The Lord encourages, and then I spoke of the recent days. We've had that young student attending with us from law school at UF. And I said he's conservative from a Catholic background. But I said we have discussed many things. I've not yet been able to run him off. So I said we correspond with faithful brethren as far away as Siberia, as close as the end of the road. At the time, Stuarts were coming. I said, we have family from Washington State that's going to visit with us Sunday. And that Brother Stuart visited with us many times, way back when, from Toys R Us days. And it's hard to remember back that long. says another larger family attends frequently, and I mentioned the families from Shands that the Lord sent us in the past, and I said we hear from folks like you frequently. I could go on, but my point is the Lord continues to encourage us just when we need it most. This is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not of Babylon on the Potomac or of Tallahassee or of any human government. We answer only to our Lord. And then then I had another fellow this week, the one joined the sermon group, and I put him on there, and he said amen, God be the glory. And then he said I'm a local missionary Baptist in California in a little town close to Sacramento, and who knows. I think by and large, and I hope it isn't the case there, most of the folks, I don't like to use that term missionary Baptist anymore. You know, and it's been so abused in the way that most of these Baptists do missions. It's not in the Bible. I don't know where it come from. You know, it's like what Brother King was alluding to. Paul didn't go out. He said, well, go start a mission and let them be there for a bunch of years, and then this big mama church will come organize them. Paul went and started churches. I don't see where Paul went and started missions. Anyway, yeah, you go back and listen, I don't know much, really. And I know I don't comprehend a lot. Folks a lot smarter than me and more perceptive than me. But what the Lord's taught me, what I believe He's taught me, is what I believe He's taught me. It's what I stand for. And I look back at the split way back when. Don't want to get back into too much history, but the old Black Rock split, where the primitives went this way and the missionaries went this way. They were all sovereign grace at the time, by the way. But you know what? The more I've studied that thing, I think there was a lot of truth, and there was some error on both sides. And they've gotten worse. Most modern primitives are the conditionalist side of primitives, and they're a little better than universalists. They're in some ways worse than Armenians. I just don't understand that, but that's the way it's went. And most missionary Baptists, you know, they build these hierarchies and operating. But I can't answer for other things. And I'm not saying they're all wrong and they're all bad. I've had primitive Baptists come and speak in this pulpit. Well, some missionary Baptists would throw me out for that. Well, you can't be a true church if you had a primitive Baptist come preach. Yeah, well, yeah, I did. And I'd do it again. Not any of the conditionalists, by the way. The old absolute or primitives who called themselves old school Baptists. I kind of like that terminology. I call myself an old school sovereign grace landmark Baptist. Problem is, all those terms have probably been used too. So you got to explain to folks. Okay, well, so I'm kind of rambling a little bit there, but the point is, I believe the Lord's put us here. And some weeks I get more encouragement than others, and I got a lot this week. And you're all part of it, too. But, yeah, you know, maybe we're supposed to be here. Maybe I should just keep on. Even though sometimes I feel like I don't have my hat on. I do it when I'm out to range quite often. I'll take my hat and throw it down like I'm some kind of football coach and start ranting. But, so anyway, should have had a hat. That would have been more effective. But, no, sometimes I feel like I just quit. But I can't quit. I'm worse off than my wife and Brother Hal. I don't have anywhere else to go. I got to keep doing this. Maybe the Lord will call me home soon. I don't know. Maybe I'll catch COVID or something. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Well, I don't believe in that stuff either. Lord knows, and I trust Him. And I guess I'll just keep on getting on Skyline. And that's the only way, you know, these kind of folks that we hear from, it's only because you get out there on the Skyline. I wish I could find, I would like to dig a hole and hide in it. And some people, maybe that's the best way to go. But I can't. By the grace of God, we'll continue on. We thank the Lord for all of you. We thank the Lord for, I'm sure I had other stuff here, but I'm not. Lord willing, next week, who knows? Maybe we'll pick it back in Galatians, maybe something. Who knows? The Lord knows. And it depends on what I get the point now. It's church. I don't feel, you know, I've got to have, you know, 3 points in a poem and those things like you used to have. I don't worry about that anymore. And I do worry about this. It has to be from the book. And sometimes folks need to get a more. Some folks, you know, almost worship expository preaching, and I like it, and I do a lot of it. But it's like you can't do anything else. Yeah, sometimes you need to do other things. You have to address where we are every day, where God's people are every day, what they're dealing with every day. And sometimes it takes kind of the whole more of a systematic theology. Well, by the grace of God, we continue on. Oh, how appropriate. We're going to sing number 172. In all my Lord's appointed ways. 172. You can come play if you want. In fact, you got to now because my tape's got 2 songs in front of that one. I can't get to it. I just got an old tape up here. I don't have one of those modern things. I think it's pretty easy one. I can't remember if it's to a regular tune or you'll know it. Play a little bit more.
Okay.
At the beginning.
Okay.
It's like, what's that song?
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Okay, here we go.
Yeah,
okay, you can give me a lead in and we'll go from there.
All my Lord's appointed ways, my journey I'll pursue. Hinder me not, he must not stand, for I must go with you. Through floods and flames, if Jesus lead, I'll follow.
James, would you be comfortable in closing with prayer?
Oh, certainly. Sure.
Well, then please do.
Okay, our Father, Lord, again, we are thankful, Lord, to be here today in your house to hear your word preached. Lord, we do thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
the one that died for us, that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us to be lights in a dark world. Lord, help us to be salt in this world. And Lord, help us to be good witnesses and testimonies,
yes,
to your truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet together as a group here today. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it easy for us to establish churches, Lord. We make it so much harder than it has to be. Lord, we thank you that we have the ability as Christian people to organize and to establish churches here in your world. Lord, there are so many places that are without truth, and Lord, we just pray that all of these requests and all of these desires of these that have contacted Brother Wilson, that Lord, that you might be with them, that you might strengthen them, that you might give them courage, Lord, and to establish churches in these places, and that you bless them, Lord, with souls. And Lord, that you bless them with the preaching of the glorious gospel of Christ. And so, Father, again, we thank you for this place, Lord, that we can come and worship and fellowship with the saints of God. Lord, we pray that you would rain down your blessings upon Landmark Baptist Church, Lord, and continue to help her to be a beacon and a light in a dark world. And so, Lord, we thank you again. We pray that you'd be with our fellowship today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.